Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestic microbrews. They have the best selection of beer anywhere. Nice warm weekend coming up, a nice refreshing cold beverage is exactly what you'll be looking for. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Last night, it is the Cardinals winning on a walk-off grand slam by Matt Carpenter. Mike Shannon with the call on KMOX.
All right, come on, Matt Carpenter. Get it done right here. 3-2 pitch. Howe has his sign. He sets himself. He checks. He kicks. And he pitches. Swing and a long, high fly ball to right field. The Cardinals win this one on a grand slam home run by Matt Carpenter. In the bottom of the 11th, he hit it a ton out of here. He touches them all, and the Cardinals win it 8-4.
Mike Shannon with the call on KMOX as the Cardinals win it on the Matt Carpenter walk-off grand slam last night. Let's bring in Garrett Sickles now, former Nittany Lion defensive end. His big day in the draft most likely will be tomorrow. Garrett, welcome. It is great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
No, we appreciate the time you're giving us. What have when you look back at the last, I don't know, 2-3 months, combines, workouts, things like that, what has stuck out to you about this process?
I think the most important thing I really learned is just to, I think I also learned at the end of the season last year, is just to control what I can control and not worry about anything else that, you know, is out of my realm. So just focusing on what I'm doing every day to get better and to be ready to go into mini camp, you know, this summer with the team, and just, you know, being patient. You know, everyone makes it seem like, you know, you have the combine and you have your pro day and the draft is a week after that. You have a month and some change until then. So it's just being patient and, you know, taking every day and, you know, getting ready to play football again in a month or so.
Garrett, how different is it to get ready for a combine and a pro day as opposed to getting ready for a football practice?
You know, I always joke with the guys, but, you know, it's not too far off. Getting ready for the combine, you're kind of getting ready for to be a track athlete. And, as opposed to getting ready to play football and getting a lot stronger, you're more, you know, getting endurance for repetitions and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's pretty much now back in the realm that I'm used to.
Yeah, exactly. And back to the comfort level. Yet, where did you improve the most in these? Oh, in the underwear Olympics, as people call them, I mean, did you improve your speed? Was it your jumping? Was there some area that you improved because you actually did concentrate and work on it so much to get ready for this?
I mean, I definitely did a lot better from my combine to my pro day, and I improved on every one of those.
Right.
But personally, my vertical and my broad that I jumped at pro day were two of the best numbers I've ever hit, with 33 on vert, and then, you know, even my three-cone drill. I've never ran a three-cone before, and then the first time I ran it, I think it was like a 7.2, and then I ran a 6.8 and change at pro day. So I was able to definitely build off of some things, and you know, that's the one drill that nobody kind of runs until you get ready for the NFL. That's that three cone. So
exactly. You know, when you look back at the entire process, you had to obviously get ready for this, which meant you had to train, you had to get an agent. There are so many areas that you had to take care of off to the side before you even did any work. What was that process like for you, and who helped you out there?
Fortunately for myself and guys that, you know, played at Penn State, you know, we always kind of had guys that were 2 years removed from the program. So I had Zettel, I had Carl, I obviously had Christian, and those guys were able to help me throughout the process. And, you know, you get hit up by agents going into your, I guess, third year of playing football, and sometimes before that. Mm-hmm. I always just kind of put that off to the side. And, you know, you can meet with them, but you can't sign anything, and you're able to do your own assessments that way. But, you know, just, and usually they have the place that will train you in mind. So, you know, they kind of take care of where you're going to train, and you have a choice, but most of the time you can trust their judgment based on who you have and guys that they've represented in the past.
I know teams will talk with you, but sometimes it doesn't mean anything. I remember DJ Dozier when he was drafted in 1987. He was a first-round pick of the Vikings, and one of the questions in his press conference here was, you know, how often did you talk to the Vikings? He said, the first time I ever talked to them was when they called me and told me they picked me. So that happens. But under the category of, you know, who has shown the most interest, who has shown the most interest when you've had a chance to talk?
Yeah, you know, from the combine on, it's been the Colts, the Niners, Ravens. The Panthers have expressed some interest, but you know, the past couple of days, the most interest has come from Ravens, Colts, Cleveland, Niners. Missing one. There's a couple others, but yeah, it's just been a whirlwind because you get a call from a team you haven't even talked to. Like the last couple of days, I spoke to Green Bay. I haven't even heard from Green Bay. Right. And oh, it was the Eagles. The Eagles haven't talked to me a lot. So, you know, you go through this process, and then right before the draft, you're getting these random phone calls from Oakland, and you're like, man, I haven't even talked to them. And same with Miami. So it's definitely been an exciting process, to say the least.
Yeah, it has been. What were you like building up to a game? Were you a nervous guy building up to a game and then game day? And how does that compare to how you feel on this day waiting for this process, this part to start?
So believe it or not, I was actually more nervous going into practices. yeah, I don't know what it was, but I don't know if it was the environment that Coach Franklin created, but you know, everything was a final stand moment, if you will, in practice with the defense. The defense always had our backs up against the wall. And if you're going to practice, you know, it's like you put in new calls for this week, so you have to learn that. And you just learned it 10 minutes ago at meetings. So, you know, you're on your game mentally that way, and then you have to go out there and execute it. And me being an older guy, I was like, I'm not making any mistakes. And me and Evan actually were talking about it a couple of days ago, how like the older guys, you know, the young guys, you have some error to make a mistake, but once you're named a starter, you know, Spence holds you to a very high standard. And I think that obviously is going to help me going forward. But, yeah, going into games, I was very tense, but not a nervous tense. I was excited to get out there and play some football. So game day was definitely easier.
Yeah. You know what? But that, you know, what James is trying to create in practice is that it makes you feel like Saturday's easier.
Oh, no doubt. It absolutely does.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how does that compare to how you feel on this day going into this? Because, obviously, this is 3 days of the unknown.
Well, you know, like I said before, I just I think I've done a really good job worrying about what I can control. And, you know, going into this opportunity, when I declared, my goals were to put myself in a position to be drafted and then to make the 53.
Right.
So, you know, obviously I'm not the one drafting me. And if I could, obviously I would draft myself first overall. But like anyone would. But, yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, going to be relaxing with my family. And, you know, when I get a call, it'll be an awesome moment. So, just not getting too worked up over it.
It was obviously a very interesting time to be at Penn State and then to culminate the way it did for this team. And what was your final season here? How do you look back on your time here at Penn State?
Definitely one that will probably go down in history. I remember I well, obviously with the Big Ten Championship in the Rose Bowl, but I remember when I committed with, you know, Christian and Brendan Mann and Brendan and those guys, and then the sanctions come down, and we're going into our senior year of high school. We all called each other, and we all pretty much came to the same conclusion. It's like, well, we're still going here as long as there's still a team, and, you know, that staff is still in place. So, you know, we never went there for a bowl game, and we just went there to play for Penn State and play football with each other and have fun. And the way it ended up, you know, going to the Rose Bowl, winning a Big Ten championship was pretty amazing. And it's pretty funny. My last game as a recruit at Penn State was when we put 2012 up in the stadium. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool how, you know, one of my last games, we're going to have to put up 2016 because of the championship. So it was a pretty awesome full circle experience there.
Well, it really is an amazing group. There are different levels of people along the way that helped get this program to where it is through this process. Your group, including you, happen to be one of them. You can take pride in both those numbers, both those years being up mm-hmm. there. Garrett, absolute pleasure, privilege covering you all these years. You've always been first class, and I've always enjoyed every second we've had a chance to talk. Thanks so much. Best of luck this weekend.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it, Steve.
Garrett Sickles, former Nittany Lion. Big day coming up for him probably tomorrow in rounds 4-7. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Imagine getting behind the wheel and looking forward to your journey ahead. If when you turned your car on, it did the same for you. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury has the full 2017 Lincoln lineup ready to invigorate your driving experience with affordable American luxury. Well-qualified buyers can take advantage of $4,000 cash back and 0% for 72 months on the luxurious 2017 Lincoln Navigator. Or lease a new 2017 Lincoln MKX all-wheel drive for $363 per month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors Lincoln is your destination for affordable American luxury. Located in Sunbury in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and online at sunburylincoln.com. Financing with Lincoln AFS with approved credit. Lease based on stock number LB738, 10,000 miles per year and $3,900 total due at signing. Zero security deposit, tax and fees extra. Offer ends 5/3/2017.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Obviously, we wish Garrett Sickles nothing but the best of luck. In all likelihood, tomorrow, rounds 4-7. Worked hard in his Penn State career. It was an important reason for success here. Over the 3 years that he played in the 4 years overall. All right, Penguins last night opened up, beat the Capitals last night 3-2 in the opener. Bob Grove now joins us. Bob, in terms of approach, what did you like about what you saw from the Penguins' approach last night?
Well, what I liked about it was they came out in the first period after having 6 days off between series, and they came out and played their best first period of the playoffs.
Yep.
Last night, the Penguins did. And it really, it set the table for them to take advantage of a couple of miscues by the Capitals, turn them into goals early in the second, and boy, they needed that, because as the game went on, the Capitals just dominated it.
Which then brings us to Marc-Andre Fleury. For a guy that's backstopped the Stanley Cup, he certainly has had more than his fair share of criticism over time. What did you think of especially his final 10 minutes last night?
Oh, he was just awesome. I mean, you know, he was so good in the home games in the first round against Columbus. He, like the team in front of him, I thought, did not get anywhere near that level in the two road games in Columbus. So I think there was a lot of trepidation among Penguins fans about how he was going to handle game one in that environment. And he was superb. He was really good. I mean, you couldn't... Yeah. You couldn't blame him for either goal. And that goal mile scramble with 3 minutes to go was classic. Just absolutely classic stuff.
And he doesn't have a stick. Ovechkin runs him over without a helmet on.
Yeah.
That was incredible. Which then brings me to Ovechkin. Mm. Like, why is it... that's really far too open-ended. But when you watch him play... Why doesn't he have a signature goal to his career?
Well, he certainly doesn't have a signature a playoff goal, right?
Right.
So, and yeah, that's what we're.
I mean,
talking
I don't
about.
I don't mean like oh I got my 500th. I mean, yeah. it reminds me of the old Bob Uecker joke. I hit a grand slam once. Mm-hmm. Now it was a big hit. It made it 13-2. I mean,
yeah.
To me, that's Ovechkin's career. I had a hat trick. The final was 9-1.
It is. It is, and here's the thing is, to be fair to Alexander Ovechkin, he's been a good playoff performer in his career. You look at his numbers, mm-hmm. I don't care how you look at them, they're good, but they're not great. He has not done the thing that leads his team to a Stanley Cup championship. And I can't answer the question about why, because I think we all kind of scratch our heads a bit, right?
Exactly. I didn't quite know how to ask it, but I just went that route.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a legitimate criticism of a guy who's he's the greatest goal scorer of his generation. He's mm-hmm. one of the greatest goal scorers the game has seen, but when it comes to playoff time, and here's the most recent example. So they get into this first round series against this plucky Leafs team, right? They're young, but they're hungry, and they're coming after you. And that series is tied at 2, and the Capitals finish them off by winning the last two games of the series. He doesn't have a point in either of those games, and that's kind of him in a nutshell. Like, he's not out front leading the way. And and just to contrast him, and look, I don't buy into it. I'm over the Crosby-Ovechkin hype because it's not about one guy in this. But because of when they were drafted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they're always going to be linked. And look at last night's game when the Penguins didn't play well, but they had two stars. One was Fleury, who we've already talked about, and the other, unquestionably, was Sidney Crosby, who, he got it done early in the game and created a chance for the Penguins to win it.
Right, exactly. He scored two goals last night. What does it speak, though, to the depth of the Penguins that a guy like Bonino seems to step up at certain moments?
Oh, they're gonna need that against, and they do. They have that depth. So do the Capitals. Quite frankly, I mean, they have some great scoring depth.
Yeah.
A guy like Burakovsky on the third line, who always seems to me like he's dangerous. Kuznetsov, who was invisible last year in this round, and when the Penguins met the Caps, comes up last night with something big for them. So both of these teams have the depth, but the Penguins, if you look back at their series last season, I mean, a lot was made of the fact that last year against the Capitals, Malkin had 2 points in 6 games and Sid had 2 points. But guess what? The HBK line lit them up.
Right.
And that was the difference in the series. And, so not unusual for the Penguins to get a goal from a guy like Bonino, who kind of goes, he had an awful first half of the season, really came on in the second half, and is a proven kind of guy who can get you that big goal at the right time, as he did last year when he knocked the Caps out. So not surprising to see it.
Bob, it sounds like they're getting closer to getting Haglund back. When he's out there now, obviously there's going to be some rust if he ever does get back into this thing. But when he's out there, what will he add that's a dimension the Penguins could use right now?
Well, his speed is going to be, and that's the biggest asset that he has, is the thing that's going to help him. And here's the thing. I'll be stunned if he's not in the lineup for game two. I mean, he practiced today. It took the whole practice, doing everything. He's going to be back tomorrow night. I fully expect that. And here's why that speed. Because quite frankly, Carl Hagelin had kind of a disappointing season for me in terms of production.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a naturally gifted scorer. But because his speed is an... He creates so many things. You expect him to finish a certain amount of plays. He didn't do that this season. But when you've lost Chris Letang, who is their best skater, incredible speed and skater, and now you don't have Haglund, the speed is one of the big things. It's one of your big trump cards if you're the Penguins playing the Caps, and you're missing them both. So you get him back, Haglund back. Now the Penguins can really use that. They can start dumping pucks to areas, let him chase them down, and see what they can create from it. So that'll be big.
Sometimes a speed speed person or a speed team is not a physical team. I feel, in my opinion only, but I feel like the Penguins have done a good job with the body during the course of the playoffs. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, no, I don't think they get enough credit for that. I mean, it's not their calling card. It's not the thing you remember about them. But when they're really playing well and they're getting pucks behind the defense, as Sullivan always encourages them to do, part of that equation has to be that you're going to hit somebody at the other end and you've got to battle for the puck that you've gotten behind the defense. So you've got to get it there first, and then second, you've got to win it back in a lot of cases. They've done that. I mean, fairly consistently. When they're playing well, they've done that. And I think they've done a decent job of that. Boy, I mean, they got out hit in the Columbus series, but
sure.
You know, that's what Columbus, that's how they play. But yeah, I would agree that I don't think the Penguins get much credit at all for being a team that battled for pucks.
And then back to Ovechkin. I think Ovechkin doesn't get enough credit for being as physical as he is sometimes. I mean, he will throw his body around there.
Oh, well, that's one of the things that makes him so hard to play against, right? Is that, I mean, we've seen it in Pittsburgh. I mean, he's absolutely tried to take Malkin's head off a number of times. And we remember the big hit on Sergei Gonchar in the 2009 playoffs, right, which I thought was dirty. It was a knee-on-knee hit.
Yep.
I thought he was looking to hurt him. He did hurt him. He knocked him out. And so you got to – he's a physical specimen, that guy. Always has been. And that's another element to the game that, you know, you can't dispute, really.
Bob Grove joining us, talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins. Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate it. All right, final half hour of the week coming up, which means my brother's going to join me on the show to knock around probably some NFL draft stuff. I received the suits evaluation of the Steeler draft, Sean.
Is he ready to? He needed assistance being... You know, taking off the bridge again, or what?
The only word I can come up with is manifesto.
Wow, in a text.
The other word I came up with is dossier. He analyzed the guy more than the Steelers did. And they're the ones investing the money. Then he got mixed up between TJ, Derek, and JJ. It's all a mess.
We'll set him straight.
I'll forward it to you.
Okay, please.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
See, they're going to go back to arguing, Sean. See, I like when a show understands what it is and finds its stride, don't you?
I guess they got to go back to what works. They tried. E for effort.
Well, the problem is the two of them were walking in the hallway and they were shaking violently. Neither one of them could take it anymore. Sports bozo of the day. Look here. Hello, Nike. How about a shoe contract for my son? Now. Hello, Under Armour. How about a shoe contract for my son? Now. Hello, Adidas. How about a shoe contract for my son? Now. For the first time in the history of the NBA draft, a potential top five pick has been turned down by every shoe and apparel company out there. Because it's not that Lonzo Ball doesn't deserve a shoe contract and apparel contract, but Daddy Dearest might be a slight problem. We've said from the beginning, we aren't looking for an endorsement deal, LeVar told ESPN. We're looking for co-branding, a true partner. But they're not ready for that because they're not used to that model. But hey, the taxi industry wasn't ready for Uber either.
Or Lyft. Can't forget Lyft. Maybe Puma will call. Or Saucony.
We'll call.
New balance.
The one I even know that's in Puma is Ricky Fowler, right?
You are, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
There's some Premier League soccer teams also that have Puma across the pond.
Fabulous. That's just great.
I knew you'd like that. Yeah.
If you can go over and you can just sell apparel left and right in Liverpool, really, I think at that point you've made it. All right. You've done it. All right. Let's bring in my brother. He's probably agreed with every word I said.
Oh, everything. Yep. Hey, this guy was robbing a house, right? It's a true story. And all of a sudden somebody said, Jesus is watching you. The robber says, what? Oh, well, so the robber, he went back to work, and then he started to pick up the VCR, and he heard the voice again, Jesus is watching you. This time the robber got mad, and he pointed his flashlight at the voice. He says, who is that? And it was a parrot. I'm Moses, said the parrot. Who in the world would name you Moses? Asked the robber. The parrot answered, the same man who named the pit bull in the corner Jesus. Anyway, that's all I got.
All right, take care. Talk to you next week. Okay. Yeah.
Did I tell this joke last week about the three drunks in Manhattan?
Climbing, to the 45th floor.
Yeah, the building,
floor.
Yeah, 45th no, no, floor. I think I told that one last week, yeah. Okay, so the only thing predictable about the NFL draft last night was unpredictability. That was actually a rather interesting ride for 4 hours last night.
Who did the Giants take?
Took tight end Ingram out of Ole Miss. Great pick. I mean, not a good pick. It's a great pick.
Yeah.
He has H-back tight end skills, but also has slot receiver skills. He is a very difficult matchup.
Cool.
So, I mean, it's a good pick for them.
Manning should be all set. So,
yeah, you should be.
How's the golf game this week?
Me? Hmm. I shot 79 yesterday over at the White Course.
Really? 79?
Yeah.
Man.
I had...
You could go on the senior tour.
Oh, I qualify for it. Let's see. I had 9 pars, 1 birdie, and 8 bogeys.
That's incredible. So, how'd you get so freaking good? You were never that good. Always good. You could drive the ball, but man, you've gotten... What part of your game's really picked up?
Hand wedge, foot wedge. No, I'm just kidding. My wedge play. My wedge play is so much better. But the difference is I have all the clubs in the bag now, so I'm never in between shots.
Yeah.
I have a lob wedge, a sand wedge, a gap wedge. It all came in the same set. I mean, buying new clubs, having them fit to me. You know, because I did a club fitting with it, because I thought if I'm going to do it, might as well. I mean, it doesn't cost anymore. And this playing a lot.
I had those same crappy clubs I had when I was 16. And they were like 30 years old then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
no,
we've got the big match
going on there.
Well, we got the big match coming up on Wednesday over at Susquehanna Valley Country Club. You should come down. Be our fourth.
And do what?
You should come down on Wednesday and be our fourth over at Susquehanna Valley.
Oh, my God. I'll caddy for you, you know?
Well, Sean's already doing that.
Swing and a miss. How many strikes do I get?
Well, of course, that means it's 4.5 hours out there with the suit. And the suit has a rep. He hits a lot of one time there was a thunder and lightning storm. You ever hear this one, Sean?
This goes back a ways, I think, yeah.
thunder and lightning storm moving in. Right. Suits driving the cart. He says, boy, that looks really bad over there. I said, maybe we ought to go back. Oh, no, we're fine. He says, I'll just pull over here. He pulls under a tree. I said, what are you doing? I said, get over here. I said, get in the other passenger seat. He moved over. I drove us back to the clubhouse where it promptly rained for an hour and lightning all over the place. People started falling. I said, we pulled under a tree? I said,
here, take your club, hold it up in the air, and sprint down the fairway.
Exactly. Who raised you? Wolves? What's going on? Wow. Then, of course, there's the famous bridge moment. You know about the bridge moment, don't you, Kevin?
The what?
He may not have heard the story.
I did not hear the bridge story.
Oh, you'll love this.
Mahone, Drew Kelly, and I are standing there. The suit is about to tee off. There is a bridge that crosses, I want to say it's from the fourth hole over to the fifth tee. And the fifth tee is it's a par three uphill. It's a 9-iron. It's no big deal. All right. And so we're standing back. Now, this is a bridge where it's got the metal over the bridge, like it's just tubing.
Yeah.
All right. He rears back, swings, and it's off to the left. He hits it square, which is impossible to do.
And he hits it
square
bridge.
Off the bridge, which means if it hadn't hit the bridge, it would have gone down the fourth fairway. But he hits the bridge square, flies in the air. Now, Drew and I both cover the lower extremity area. Mahone covered his face.
And why would you do that?
I'm
Did
on
I
radio.
Tell you, John, what happened to him? Guy yells, four! Okay. We look over, we turn around, and it hits Steve square. He dropped like a rock. Are you all right?
Well, we get to that part of the course on Wednesday morning, Steve. You have to show me exactly where you were at when all that went down.
It's unbelievable. And then he did it again the next year. He almost hit the thing again. All right, we're like, man, it's early in the morning. I mean, I didn't think that you were allowed to really start getting going at the bar until about 1.
Was he drinking?
It's the only solution we can come up with that made sense.
You kind of hope he was drinking, right?
We're hoping
he was.
That
stuff.
My! Of course, I told you about the slice where it was straight as drive. He's something else out there.
Well, we are hoping for a great turnout on Wednesday. I did hear from Adam Purdy a couple days ago. They're close to 40 foursomes, a few more pending, and deadline Monday to sign up. So you still have time to call the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA at 570-286-5636 and join us on Wednesday. Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And, of course, we will have our show live on location after 3 on Wednesday. So everybody come on over and join us. And I'm checking the weather. Looks like at this point, after an overnight low, mid-40s, Wednesday, hopefully a mix of clouds and sun, mid to upper 60s.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes.
That's perfect. Love it. That should be great. Now, I pushed back the taping of the TV show to Thursday, so we're all good.
Hey, on the same sports level, did you get any part of that Yankee-Red Sox game last night?
I did not because I was watching the draft, but I guess the pitching was Tanaka and Sale were great.
I mean, just being baseball fan, I know the people out there care less about the Yankees or the Red Sox, but if you care about baseball, man, that Chris Sales can pitch.
Yeah, you texted me last night. Was he up to 7 strikeouts when you texted me last night?
7 strikeouts in 3 innings.
There was one pitch.
And then he kind of slowed it down a little
bit. There's one pitch. One sick pitch I saw. He had a corner pitch going 99 miles an hour. Man.
Yeah. Oh, man. He is. I mean, it was 1-0 in the ninth. He carried it all the way to that.
Right.
And Takama for the Yang. How do you say his name?
Tanaka.
Tanaka, Takama, same thing. That's bad. He pitched very well, but the Red Sox can't hit.
No, they cannot.
If you've ever seen a team that has not recovered from losing for David Ortiz,
right?
They
no,
have
exactly.
Not recovered.
That's exactly what I thought when I was concerned about them going into the season. I thought that would be a huge hole that I wasn't sure they could recover from.
And they have not. And he protected that lineup.
He sure
protected
did.
The guy in front of him and the guy behind them. And now you're seeing how good they really are without
right.
they. And they are good. They'll adjust, but they have not adjusted yet. It's amazing.
They're 11-10 with they're 11. Yeah, they're 11-10 without hitting. I mean you've got to be actually pretty good to do that.
Yeah, but they're not hitting at all.
Right. If they hit,
they've averaged
right.
1.9 runs a game.
Right.
I mean,
right. If they
okay,
hit,
they
their
won
16
some games
and 5.
Early, but you're not going to beat Baltimore. You're not going to beat
no.
the Yankees.
No.
You're not going to, obviously, no. because they're losing to those teams.
No doubt.
It's a shame for Sale. I mean, I think he's 1-3 now, and he's got like a .009 ERA. He only gives up one run a game, and he's lost three games.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They don't score any runs for the guy.
No, they do not. They do not.
They'll adjust. They're too good, but they don't have a bopper in the lineup.
No, and I don't think there's one in the system either. I think I don't know if they can acquire one, but.
A-Rod.
A-Rod. Well, the guy, to be honest with you, Kevin.
With the games.
the guy I thought in the offseason that they would try to acquire and go all out for was Encarnacion.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland got him.
Huge mistake.
Yep.
Because you knew that it would be hard to replace Ortiz.
Yep.
You just knew it was going to be. Those guys were protected in that lineup. And they're not, now the pitchers can pitch to them, They're not worried about Ortiz coming up.
Right.
Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up. It was I was going back and forth between the Penguins and the Red Sox, and I'm back and forth, and then I fell asleep, and I missed the end of both of them.
So, I'm watching the draft, and of course I'm laughing when Carolina picks, because Mel Kiper got mad that Carolina picked Christian McCaffrey. Now, what he has to get over is that just because that guy is the eighth guy on your board doesn't mean the eighth team picking needs him.
Oh, exactly. It's wants and needs, I think he'd be great with Cam Newton.
Oh, I think it's an awesome pick. Cam had to deal with last year.
I thought it's exactly the kind of pick they needed to make was at that point. I checkmarked that one as a winner. Last night, I thought that has a lot. The guy returns punts. He's a good receiver out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
He's an extra weapon for Newton to throw to.
They weren't far away last year from being very good. That's the NFL.
Some were connecting him to Philly a couple weeks ago, but I just knew he wouldn't last that long.
Mm. No, I knew he wouldn't last that long. Now most of the other draft last night was as unpredictable gets. Every time we turned around, somebody was making a deal, somebody's trading down. The 49ers, John Lynch may be a rookie general manager, but they fleeced the Bears last night.
Freaking Bears.
Well, it was like last year. The Bengals jumped up in front of the Steelers and took a wide receiver, and I just kind of have a feeling the Browns did the same thing last night. They knew they had Jabril Peppers on their war board for quite some time, so what do? They jump ahead of the Steelers, 5 picks at 25, and they get Peppers.
Well, they traded down to 25, though.
Yeah, that's true, they did.
So instead of picking Peppers at 12, they garnered extra picks in this draft and next year to move down to 25, knowing that they would still be in front of the Steelers.
They didn't brown it up. They got an extra 1 and 2 for next year already.
What do you think of O'Brien taking the quarterback?
No, Bill's had 8 starting quarterbacks.
Yep.
I think he's finally got a guy that I think he can work with and he can groom and can become his quarterback.
He's as good a quarterback coach as there is.
Yeah, I mean, Bill knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
They've been able to survive with certain guys. I mean, Rick Smith said last night, you know, Tom Savage is still our starting quarterback. I'm sure Savage went to sleep very soundly last night thinking the same thing. I'm in good shape. In fact, I think I'm going to call Mike Lennon in Chicago, see how he feels.
Trade off notes.
You did what? You drafted
who? I don't think Savage is going to start. I think he's going to put the rookie in right away. With that defense, if they can get an offense going, they're going to be tough to beat.
Now, it's interesting. You know, DeShone Kizer and Davis Webb may go tonight from Notre Dame and Cal, respectively. Mm-hmm. But let me give you a name that's an interesting name, and that's Josh Dobbs at Tennessee. Now, Josh Dobbs has some natural physical attributes. He can run, big arm, not that accurate. But I'll tell you, here's something that nobody else has. I would find it absolutely impossible for him to not pick up an offense when you have a degree in aeronautical engineering.
Oh, yeah. I saw him on what's his name? The coach. On ESPN.
With Gruden. And
yeah,
Gruden, had,
Gruden.
No idea.
Yeah, that
and
was
Gruden
good.
Had no idea what he was talking about.
Gruden's fine. He's funny. I don't care.
That's why I've always said on this show, I don't want people on here who are that much smarter than I am.
Does Gruden still have a job there?
Yeah, well, he does.
You guys aren't going to lay me off, are you? Jeez.
No, you work for the right price.
Yep, me too. I agree.
I get laid off. Wow, man, my life sucks.
Steve, that's
so
what he said.
Let me on the show if I pay him.
That's what he said to me, Steve, yesterday. He texted me, he goes, aren't you glad you don't work at ESPN?
Yeah.
But you know, how many times, Kev, do people hound me about working at ESPN?
Lots.
Yeah. I have my reasons.
Well, there you go. You were right. Look at Danny Cannell. Holy cow.
His tweet
was sad. You know, I moved my family here. My kids are in the school system. Yeah. Where's he going to get a job in Connecticut? You know?
Yeah, not in Connecticut. But my guess is that he'll end up at Fox, and he'll be a part of the Big Ten package at Fox.
I hope so, because he's good. And the other one that kills me, because a lot of times I come in here early in the morning, and they kept Junior, Golic Jr., but his partner, they let him go. That guy was good. I listened to sports radio around the clock. They were good together, and yet they kept that woman who's on the one who screams and yells and gets racist. They kept her. And. Yeah. She's making $3.5 million a year. My God, that's an easy layoff.
Maybe I should have gone there instead. take the buyout. Feel good. But I know. For example,
you can lay me off. See you.
For example, Dana O'Neill got it. I know Dana, and you know it. That was hard to see that happen. I mean, Andy Katz got it.
Yeah.
They
let some good people go.
What they did was they let go of the people that actually broke the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I mean, the people that broke their stories are the people they let go, the ones that had all the connections. I mean, Dana could call up Jay Wright anytime she wanted. Jay would look at the cell phone and take the call right away. Who's left on staff that can do that?
I don't know. To me, it's sad, but it's the way the world goes now, you know?
It is sad.
Why are they losing so many subscriptions?
People are finding cable too expensive, and ESPN's the most expensive station on cable.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd be lost without it.
Yeah. Well, since you work for the right price, we'll bring you back next week.
Okay, thank you. I can eat.
Yes, you can.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.